Hello plant people, how are you guys doing today? If you're new around here, my name is Ashley and I'm a soil scientist. On this channel, I like to take that science and apply it to all things plants. And in today's video, we're talking about glyphosate. This is going to hopefully answer all your questions when it comes to glyphosate in the soil, whether using it harms microbial soil activity, or if your neighbor's using it, how does this end up or affect your garden, or maybe you just recently purchased a house and you don't know the history of the soil. What if they use glyphosate or Roundup in their garden? What do you do? This is going to answer all your questions in a relatively unbiased fashion. I say relatively because when it comes to scientific journals and following the science, it depends on who's delivering the message to you and how much trust you have in the person delivering said message to you. Because the ultimate truth is, with scientific journals, especially a topic of this magnitude, such as glyphosate, there's a lot of different journals out there. And so the person delivering the message to you does have to take a unbiased look at this stuff and really sort through all the literature, both negative, positive, in favor for, against, see where the funding's coming from for these journals, all that stuff, to try to give you a view of it that is unbiased or isn't swayed in any manner. Now, I do take quite a bit of pride in actually delivering this information to you in a way that is not only digestible for the regular person who maybe can't read these journals in their spare time, not that I think you guys are stupid or anything, actually, I think you're quite to the contrary, anyone who subscribes to this channel, I would argue you're probably some of the smartest people in the plant community, whether that be gardening or houseplants, because you're asking these questions. That's why you stumbled on these videos. Very rarely do I do just a plant tour video. You know what I mean? Like, you came to this channel looking for science. So I'm here to deliver that to you in a digestible fashion. So I really combed through the literature. I watched literally hours of presentations on this, people who were actively doing studies on this, different soil conferences that have been done, and people's presentation on, you know, multi-year studies that they've done. I'm talking like 5, 6, 7, 8 year studies that have been done on glyphosate. And I just really want to put your mind at rest when it comes to glyphosate and show you or teach you how to manage this accordingly. Let's just jump straight into it. First, before I forget, because I keep on forgetting to say this, if you're looking for raised garden beds, the aluminum ones, like the metal ones, I did a post over on Instagram. If you don't follow me on Instagram, you do not know that this happened. I posted it and people went absolutely crazy because I guess the shipping is a lot less, because this is a Canadian company that I got my beds from, my raised beds from, and all the rest of them are from like Australia or the US, and so the shipping is nearly the same price as the actual bed, I guess, in a lot of cases. I didn't realize this until after I posted on Instagram. Anyways, the Canadian company, it's not an affiliate link at all. Like, I'm not making money from it. So I will leave the link for that along with a discount code. Again, I don't make any money from it, but I asked them for a discount code for you guys. So grab the discount code, the website, and buy from them if you're in Canada. I guess it's drastically cheaper, like drastically. Like, I got multiple DMs being like, holy shit, thank you. So if you want to grab that, do that. I got the 17-inch eucalyptus. Yes. So I just wanted to put that in there before I forgot. Any hoosers, let's just jump straight into this. So things that I'm not going to cover in this discussion is the potential harm of glyphosate on the human body, because I don't know that. I'm not a human bodies person, so I don't know the effects of this in the food chain, all that stuff. All I can look at this from is a plant perspective and a soil perspective. So if we're talking about the ethics of humans and animals, that's like something that I can't talk about, because I don't know anything about that. So if anyone knows anything about that or can cite any studies about that, please do leave them down below. I can read the journals, I can likely understand them, but there's just no point in me talking about it because my opinion doesn't matter. I'm not a professional human bodies person, so not something I can get into. But I do think the human bodies aspect of this is kind of what triggered the anti-glyphosate movement and the concerns about this being in our food chain. And I think particularly that this came out of California, I believe. One of the studies I looked at here is looking at herbicides applied to soils potentially affecting soil microactivity. So one of the things that they determined was it was the quantity and the frequency of the application that changed the basically the microbiome, and not just the microbiome, but the actual crops themselves. So if you've ever heard of glyphosate resistant weeds, you probably already know this. If you haven't, welcome to the scary world of herbicides not working anymore because we've use them too much or we haven't applied them properly. It's really similar to the idea of antibiotics, for example. We have super bugs now that don't work with antibiotics, doesn't work on them. And it's because we've improperly dosed with, I mean, there's several thought processes here, but generally accepted thing is that we've improperly dosed against certain things we use antibiotics for. And so the same thing's happening here with glyphosate. We're ending up with glyphosate resistant weeds, ones that we could spray with glyphosate and nothing's going to happen because they've adapted to an environment where glyphosate is continually present. So the study goes on to say that the objective of the study is to determine increasing glyphosate application rates on soil microbial biomass and the overall activity. This was done in Westwood in a silt loam. So silt loam is important here in the discussion because that is referring to our bulk density of our soil. So the way that a glyphosate is going to interact with a microbial community in a sandy soil is going to be different than how it interacts in a clay soil. So if you have a soil that is sandier than silty loam, for example, your microbial activity is going to be harmed more with glyphosate than what this study is saying is happening in this study in particular. And then if you have a clay soil, you are less harm is coming to it because you have a higher bulk density. So when I'm reading through this, just think of in your mind what soil you have, and then obviously use that terminology to digest what I'm saying. Now, if you don't know what you have in regards to soil type, I have my workbook. So that's the one that is a paperback on Amazon. I have the printable PDF version on Etsy. And then I do believe I have a blog post or two, and I also have a video. I remember filming that video showing you how to figure out where you're at on the actual textural triangle. So that may be something that you're interested in finding out to just determine what your bulk density is and what you're working with in general. So he used glyphosates at different rates, 47, 94, 140 and 234 UGs per gram of soil. Now that doesn't matter too much, but the assumed depth in which the glyphosate penetrates is important. So this first study says that the glyphosate penetrates within the first 2 millimeters and doesn't go any further when it comes to the glyphosate penetrating into the actual soil. So when we're spraying our soil, now with a garden, it's a little bit different because we're really spraying on localized weeds, like we're actually walking up to the weed and spraying it. But in an agricultural practice, we're typically like boom spraying. So we're almost showering the entirety of the soil. So this applies a little bit more to the crop side, but to digest this or make this into a gardener's issue, we are localized spraying the weed, and depending how closely we have the actual spray bottle, we may penetrate deeper into the soil or hit less of the actual plant. Now, the glyphosate doesn't have to go in the soil. We actually just want the glyphosate to really hit the surface of the plant. So if you're getting down deep with your Roundup and you're really spraying close, you're not doing anything other than glyphosate penetrating the soil. But if you're spraying nice and high and you're actually broadcasting the weed, you're using it properly in that sense. So that's something to think about. The closer you are, the farther it's going to penetrate. The farther away you are, the less depth you're going to get from penetration. And then also your soil type. If you have a clay soil and you're spraying from really high up, it's probably 1 millimeter maybe. Or if you have, you know, a sandy soil and you're spraying really, really close, it may go way past 2 millimeters. It may go much, much deeper than that, right? So something to definitely keep in mind. So this is the part of this study that I think is going to upset some people, but unfortunately it is the reality and seems to be, for the most part, a really common theme across every journal I read. And again, this is just the reality of this. It's probably not going to suit a lot of narratives here, but nonetheless, I'll just read it out. So glyphosate significantly stimulated soil microbial activity as measured by the carbon and nitrogen mineralization, but it did not affect the soil microbial biomass. So what is that telling us? It's saying that the carbon and the nitrogen was mineralized at increased rates after the application of a glyphosate pesticide or herbicide in this case, but it did not affect the soil microbial biomass, meaning it did not decrease it, but it also did not increase it in any way, shape, or form.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So it goes on to say that the cumulative carbon mineralized, as well as the mineralization rate, increased at the time of glyphosate application. There's a strong linear relationship in the study between the mineralization of carbon and nitrogen and the amount of carbon and nitrogen added as glyphosate, and slopes approximating one end. So it's saying if it's on a sloped hill, like if there's any gradient to it, obviously the compounding effect is there's more microbial activity, carbon and nitrogen mineralization on the lower slopes of the hill, if it's running downhill in this case. So this increased mineralization of carbon and nitrogen that obviously took place due to microbial activity kicking it up a notch happened the following day after the glyphosate was added, and it continued for up to 14 days after the addition of the glyphosate to said soil. So the glyphosate appeared to be directly and rapidly degraded by microbes, even at high application rates, without affecting microbial activity. So what this is telling me is that after the glyphosate, just in this one study, is telling me that after the glyphosate has been applied one day, there's a huge influx of microbial activity and it doesn't really go down or back to normal until 14 days after the first day it was applied. So you're probably wondering, well, why is this? Why is this something that is happening? And the truth is that a huge portion of pesticides are made from carbon, nitrogen, phosphate, potassium, oxygen, that sort of thing. And I'll put up the formula or the molecular structure of glyphosate up on the screen. And these are not only soil nutrients, but they're also things that microbes know and can eat, is what it comes down to. So this is for mineralizing microbes. So this is for the bacteria side. So the next question that we need to look at is actual fungal groups. And so I had to look at a different study for this to see if it affected the colony forming units, if you've watched any of my micro videos, of this fungal side. So they did find with glyphosate additions to soil is that the fungal biomass are harmed by glyphosate, ultimately, is what it comes down to. So this other study I looked at was done in Australia, and it doesn't talk too much about the intricacies of what's going on too much. It's looking more at the dosages, and as you increase the dosages, what ends up happening. So misuse of glyphosate is what this is more so discussing, like double dosing and really long-term everyday use, which you shouldn't be doing with any of this stuff to begin with. And it did show a negative effect on fungal communities in the soil. It also found that it completely killed algae in all soils, regardless of application rate. And I've stressed this over and over and over again. If you see green stuff on your soil, don't freak out. probably algae. And algae is normal. Algae is very crucial to a healthy soil. 5% actually is what's considered a healthy soil. However, in the agricultural community, which is where a lot of these studies are done, because that's where the money is, we don't focus on algae. We don't look at algae at all, which is upsetting to me. I think it's something that should be looked at. So they just kind of say, well, yeah, all the algae is dead, but it's inconsequential. We don't really pay attention to that part. And but they did all note that algae is null and void. So definitely less than ideal in that case as well. So when it comes to glyphosate and actually reducing it in our soils, it turns out it doesn't hang around for too long, generally speaking. A lot of the studies I looked at, depending on how deep it got into the soil profile, the deeper it gets into the soil profile, the faster it degrades, or the longer it takes to degrade. So sometimes I've seen upwards of 60 days survival in the soil. But for the most part, if it's not getting too deep into the soil profile, it's staying in that A horizon of the soil, it's about 30 days-ish, depending, when it actually all disappears, and it disappears through microbial degradation. So the question would be, if you're moved into a house, if you have a neighbor that's a serial Roundup user, how would you protect yourself and your family from glyphosate getting into your soil and then ultimately into your food supply that you're growing? And I found quite a few studies that indicate or show very specific species that can be used to reclaim soils that have glyphosate in them. So the first one is Pseudomonas species. So this is two bacterial isolates. There's Pseudomonas species and Bacillus species. But this is from Groundwater and Sustainable Development. This article journal was published in 2018. And so all it's saying here is that there's two different types of bacterial isolates that can be used to essentially degrade glyphosate within the system, and it's efficient for biodegradation, declines and increasing concentrations of glyphosate. So when we use Pseudomonas and Bacillus species, is they will degrade the glyphosate. They have a special affinity to glyphosates, and this may or may not have been caused, these species, just due to glyphosate use in soil. We just naturally, Mother Nature thought, oh, we got to start degrading this new compound that's being added to us, and so it developed, similar to what we're seeing with plastic, for example. There's new bacteria, soil bacteria, popping up that actually degrades plastic that we didn't know existed before, and so this is kind of what that's getting at. So a microbially active soil is going to be your key when it comes to degrading any glyphosate that may be in your soil system if you're concerned about it. If there is glyphosate in your soil in any capacity that's dangerous, and you are using heirloom organic seeds, non-GMO, even just hybridized, you can do like F1 hybrids, anything of that nature, and you're planting it in that soil and it's dying, that's a good sign that you may need to microbially remediate that soil using these functions here. If you are planting in the area and the plants are germinating just fine, you probably are okay. And I know that sounds scary, but the reality is this stuff doesn't hang out for very long at all. It's really only toxic for about a day or two, literally. By around third, fourth day, it's kind of null and void. There's nothing there. Now, this is glyphosate only. There are pesticides out there that are scary. There are pesticides out there. I've worked in this industry. There are pesticides out there that are scary. And so this is specific to Roundup, which, like I said, is quite honestly the least of our worries. There's atrazine, there's some big bad boys out there. It's just, I feel if you put like your tinfoil hat on for a moment, everyone's like, glyphosate this, glyphosate that, glyphosate this. And it's almost like to distract people and say like, look at this carbon, hydrogen, oxygen molecule here that's, you know, easily degraded by microbes. Just don't pay attention to any of these really scary ones over here. We'll just pretend those don't exist right now. So anyways, I think the focus is going to move away from glyphosate, and it's probably going to move elsewhere to some creepy shit. So I'm not going to go into too much more here. I think you guys got the idea. So ultimately, is it, does it matter? Should you be scared of it? I don't think you should be. This is personal opinion. I don't think it should be. You should be, because it does disappear from the soil profile very, very quickly. Do I think you should be using it? That's a real question. No. I think in a garden, you can get on your hands and knees and pull some damn weeds is what it comes down to. There's so many methods we can use to get away from this stuff as gardeners. So I feel as gardeners, no, it's completely unnecessary. You're just being lazy if you're using glyphosate. There's tons of organic ways of dealing with weeds. But at the same time, if you did choose to use it because you maybe have a disability or something like that, and it's easier for you, do I think you're going to die if you eat? No. I mean, no. There's no way. If you spray and harvest within 30 days of each other, maybe. There definitely could be glyphosate in your actual food. But, yeah, I don't know. It's least of my worries when I know what's actually out there in reality is what it comes down to. You guys have to let me know what you think in the comments about this. Yeah, it sucks that it decreases fungal activity. And if you're using like a mycorrhizal fungi, inoculants, anything like that, I mean, you're throwing your dollars out the window, because the studies I read showed that it does seriously harm fungal activity. It's just a given. Bacteria, not so much. Algae, it just decimates, which is really unfortunate, because that is the microbe of the future. I think there's going to be a large focus on that going forward, just because of the benefits of that actual thing. And the study that I got the original one off of, like the one that really looked at the levels, the application rates, and its effect on bacteria specifically, was from the Cambridge University. So I mean, it's no slouch university. Yeah, I don't know what to think, you guys. I know I'm gonna get some people are gonna read me the riot act here, but that's okay. That is what it is, I guess. You guys can get crazy sometimes, but anyways, I want to thank you guys so much for watching. If you enjoyed this video, be sure to give it a thumbs up. Let me know in the comments down below what you think about glyphosate, or if you think there's bigger fish to fry out there. I would love to know. Yeah, I'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.